Amen. How many of you like to be encouraged? How many of you like to be disciplined? I have something for that, but God didn't say to say it, so I'm not going to say it. What I will say is that we have about 72 hours before a new year comes in. I need to say, for me, a new year coming in was kind of anticlimactic, because when I was a kid, I heard my parents and the adults talk about watching the new year come in. I wanted to see it. So I was supposed to go to bed, but I stayed up, sat in the window, watched the Q40, what we're going, it's route up and down the street. Had my clock right there, and I'm looking, it says 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 2 minutes. Then it said 12 o'clock, and nothing happened. Nothing. I expected to see fanfare, you know, and see the old year come out, and new year coming in, and everything getting in place, and I'm like, what in the world? I stayed up for this? Well, there was so much going on. So much has happened. Many of you went through so much in 2024. There was just so much negativity. There's finger pointing. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of great things happened. But there was a lot of stuff going on. And too many people wanted to give up. Too many people have given up. One grim statistic I'll share with you is in this year, almost 50,000 Americans commit suicide. That's equivalent to 9/11 happening every 2 weeks. So God wants to encourage us. And the reason he wants to encourage us is so we can go out and encourage the world. Because they need to see a people who are still standing. They need to know it's by the grace of God. I used to like Westerns growing up. And songs by cowboys. I like Gene Autry. But there was this one song, Home on the Range. Have you ever heard that song? Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Where seldom is heard, what kind of word? That became the original state song for Kansas. Was written back in the 1870s, so they tell me I wasn't there. But the cowboys and the people headed out west took to that song because they wanted a place that wasn't dark and gloomy, and they wanted to be in a place where you didn't hear discouraging words. Because going out west, not knowing what you're going to find, it could be discouraging, just that on its own. But what I want you to understand today is just what discouragement is, what it does, and how you combat it. The word discourage, it's an insidious word. It means to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence. It also means to deprive of the will to persist with something. Discouragement, listen to this. It's not designed to tell you that you can't go on. It's designed to make you not want to go on. That's why it's so insidious. It won't say to you, you can't make it. It'll keep hitting you with things where you'll say, I don't want to make it. It can't tell you, you can't take it. It makes you feel like you can't take it. And that's what makes it so powerful, because it affects your will. It affects your desire to continue. And the author of that song, like all of us, we want to be in a place where you don't hear discouraging words. But if you're on earth, you're going to come across discouraging words, and you need to know what to do about them. I have a very simple answer. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. Everyone say it's the simple things. Now the rest of you say it's the simple things. See, too many times we miss it looking for a big, well-known scripture that pops off the page. And listen to this. For God has not appointed us to wrath. This is verse 9, read 9 to 11. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So he tells us we should comfort each other with the fact that knowing that Christ died for us. And I was reading that and I said, that's it? And I wrote, that's it in my notes. Because if you're like me, I was expecting something very dynamic to make me jump up and run around. But the more I studied and looked up some things, the more excited I got. There are two words in that scripture I want to highlight. One is comfort. In that scripture, the word comfort means to call to one side, to address, to speak to. To call to, which may be done in the way of exhortation, instruction, etc. It means to exhort, to encourage, and to strengthen. When we're comforting, we are first of all standing together. Then we are exhorting. When we are exhorting, we're strengthening. And when we are encouraging, you're pouring out strength. You're pouring out your, when you encourage, you infect someone's will. You get inside their thinking. Your encouraging words get inside their thinking and say to you, I can go on. I can do it. Like we sang in the song, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. And the purpose of edifying one another is to build us up from the foundation, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, and blessedness. The defense against discouragement is to come together and encourage one another. And it's that encouragement that builds us up. Remember, the goal of discouragement is to deprive you of courage, to make you not want to continue or to persist. But when you're encouraged, you're inspired with the courage and confidence of what to do something. You are stimulated to continue because you know you have approval and support. And it's not just support from your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let me jump past this. The people, they wanted a home where the buffalo roam because they wanted food. They wanted harmony among nature. They didn't want rainy days, but they didn't want to hear discouraging words. Because remember, I'll say it this way. If you can pull anything away from the definition of discouraged, let it be that it deprives you of your courage and makes you want to stop. I want you to remember that because that's very important. Back in the 90s, probably around 94, 95-ish, church had a school, Love Christian Academy, and I was asked by the head of the school if I would take over chapel responsibilities. Now, I'd never formally taught before then. I was a youth director and I would lead discussions but I didn't teach a service. And so that's when I made my agreement with God that I'd say whatever he told me to say, but I asked that he gave me messages that were easy to understand. And the school went from kindergarten, at that time it went to ninth grade, eventually went to 12th grade. And so I'm in chapel with the middle school, high school students. And there had been a bunch of new slang words that had just been introduced. One of them, I don't know if anyone remembers it, was dis. D-I-S. Anyone remember that word? People, I know you did. Children got into trouble. Folks got beaten up. Some people got killed. And when they asked what happened, they said, well, he dissed me, man. He dissed me. And because I like things that are current, I taught a lesson called this. And the first thing I did, because I knew it was a slang word, I wanted to see if it was a real word. So I got an unabridged dictionary, and I looked up the word D-I-S. I was shocked. It's a word. It's a reference to a being called Dispater, D-I-S-P-A-T-E-R, who's a god of the underworld. Often associated with death. And what I shared with those young people, I said, so when your obedience bows down to the god of the underworld, your obedience dies and you become disobedient. When your respect bows down to the god of the underworld, you become disrespectful. When your courage bows down to that god of the underworld, you become discouraged. So what's happening, we're getting discouraged because we're not looking at God. We're focusing on a god of the underworld. And instead of raising our hands to our God, we're bowing to a God of the underworld. And we're operating in discouragement, disrespectful, disrespect, disharmony. You name it, he dissed it. When your courage is allowed to bow. And what makes it bow is the words that it hears and the way you're processing them. Someone could say to you, you're stupid, and it rolls right off you because you know you have the mind of Christ. And Christ isn't stupid. So if you have his mind, and as, well, let me correct that. I had a conversation with two of my grandsons. And they told me something that happened. And they said, that was really dumb. And I said to him, he's Gregory III, so I call him G3. I said, why did you say that was dumb? He said, well, it was just a dumb thing to do. I said, how did you know? And he told me, my father told me, he said, Dad told me not to do that and told me what would happen if I did. And I was dumb. I did it anyway. I said, no, you weren't dumb. You were stupid. And he got quiet because Grandpa doesn't usually talk to him like that. I said, do you want to know why I said that? He said, well, yes, I do, but I was afraid to ask. And I said, dumb is a good thing. It means you need some more education. I said, dumbness can be cured by teaching. Stupid means you know what's going to happen, and you do it anyway. That's just stupid. I'm telling you that because when we allow ourselves to become discouraged, it shouldn't be because we're dumb. And the reason I say that, it shouldn't be, because if we spend time focusing on what God said about us, we won't be dumb about things like that. But if we don't focus on it, we'll act like we're untrained children. And when that happens, your hope, your confidence, your will to persist in something, and your desire will leave, and you will quit. The settlers knew the struggles that they were going to need to face in order to survive. They knew it. So they wanted to be encouraged. Like, don't tell me what I can't do. I want to know the things that we can do. And let's focus on those. They were inspired by courage. They were built up. They were urged on. They knew the importance of encouragement. Therefore, they wanted their home to be a place where often is heard an encouraging word. You don't want to live in a household where people are always putting you down. I was encouraged to leave because the stuff that was going on, I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. To show you how stupid I was. Yeah, I said stupid. There was so much stuff going on in my household growing up. I got tired of having responsibility of children and bills. I've been doing that since I was about 13. Now I'm 20, going on 21. And I was desperate to get out. So I put myself in a position to become a father because I knew if I did that, my mother would throw me out of the house. Because I couldn't just decide to leave. Something where I couldn't just walk away from my family. But knowing how they were, that if I do this, like I said on the Cosby Show, they'll kick me out of the house. I got kicked out of the house. So I went from being responsible for 8, being responsible for 1. The key was to get rid of all that responsibility altogether. But I got so desperate, I did something stupid. I didn't have anyone that encouraged me. No one would tell me that I could make it. No one would tell me I could stand. They were always talking about, you're going to be a statistic. They started telling all this racial stuff at me. But going back to LCA, one of my responsibilities aside from chapel was physical development instructor. So I started as the assistant, and they asked me to become the instructor. And we had a basketball tournament during physical development time. And I didn't let them pick. I just put everybody on teams. And one team, these folks were just pathetic. None of them were really all that good because they hadn't really played organized basketball. But this one team, they're yelling at each other. They're calling each other names. One came to me and said, I'm quitting the team. I'll take a 0. And I pulled them together and I talked to them about encouraging one another. They had the worst record. They lost more games than any other team, but in the playoffs came, they won the championship. Because they were the only team, no matter what happened, that's all right, we'll get it next time. Good shot. But I missed. Still, it was a great shot. And they got to the point where they just enjoyed playing with each other, and that made amends for their lack of skill. They just played together. They didn't care who scored. The key is to get the ball in the basket. Doesn't matter who puts it in there. Just get it in the basket. They won. And I asked them, I said, what happened? How did you guys turn this around? They said, we just let everybody know we liked each other. look around. Just look around. You like the people you're in the room with. Well, go let them know it. Go ahead, go let them know it. I'm going to sit down and wait. It feels good to encourage people. No, no, it's going to be all right. Everything's good. So glad you're here. You can pull things away from the service that's going to help you change your life. So glad you're here.
Thank you.
See, when you come to church, should not be a place where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Church should be a place where never is heard a discouraging word. Now turn to Hebrews 10, please. Verse 35. Didn't that feel good? Well, I'm glad three people thought so. Hebrews 10, verse 35 and 36 out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised." Jeremiah 29. I'm in the Amplified Bible. "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." God's plan is to give you hope. Some translations say hope and a future. So why would God want you in any type of situation where you're not given hope? His whole purpose is to give you hope. So why put yourself in a position where that's not happening? See, when I'm sure there are people that are going through things, whether they're trials, tribulation, whatever you want to call them, if it's not good. But you need to remember that all of those things are designed to be discouragement. Its desire is not to tell you that you can't go on again, but to make you decide you don't want to go on. And it can't do it in its own power or strength. The only way it can succeed is by destroying your will to continue. That's all it can do. And it needs your permission to get inside your head. You need to say, "Yes, I'm going to think about this. Yes, I want to meditate on this, because I'm tired." And then we'll start rehearsing everything that we've ever gone through in life. And that snuffs out the life of Christ that's in us. God said he knows the thoughts and plans he has, and his plans are for our well-being. The question is, do we believe that? Turn to Romans 5. The Amplified Classic. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, this state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, in addition, let us also be full of joy now. And it has an exclamation point. Be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing, not wondering. Knowing, not hoping. Knowing, not wishing. Knowing, not being anxious. Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. If you never had any reason to be patient, you never develop patience. If you had never had any reason to endure, you would never be able to endure. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. The character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Let me tell you what all that means. Once a year, or at least every other year, we have to clean the outside of this building. We have to clean the pool, the roofs on the cottages, the concrete walkways to get this junk on them. It has to be cleaned off. You can't take a water hose, just and expect it to be clean. We have to connect a power source to that hose to put pressure on the water. The higher the pressure, the better the water cleans. To the point where we keep applying pressure to it, it wipes away all that gunk and grime and stuff. It just wipes it away. Same water. Same pressure, but now that same thing that was put there to stop becomes an assist. That's the same way pressure happens in your life. If you corral it, it's an assist. How many of you cook? Yeah, how many of you eat? More eat than cook, huh? Nowadays, so that meat, you get that fall off the bone, those fall off the bone ribs, they cook them in a pressure cooker. And they apply pressure to that meat, and it falls off the bone. Well, don't have to pick it up with your finger, just gone. No pressure, it doesn't get tenderized. But pressure, we used to say pressure turns coal into diamonds. New research is showing that's not accurate, that the diamonds don't come from coal, but from carbon. And the carbon source of coal wasn't around 900 billion years ago. I don't know how they know that. Because I don't know of any people that are around that were here 900 billion years ago except for God. But I wrote down these stats about diamonds. The natural growing process of diamonds is an outcome of extreme conditions. What kind of conditions? And high temperatures occurring deep down inside the Earth's crust. They form about from anywhere from 87 to 118 miles below the surface. The temperature varies between 1,832 degrees and 2,372 degrees Fahrenheit. And the pressure is very high. I don't know what gigapixels are, but that's... And it says 50,000 times the amount of atmospheric pressure. So diamonds thrive and grow in an atmosphere where there's heat and pressure. See, they don't give up just because they have to face the heat or deal with the pressure. Carbon atoms are responsible for forming diamonds. And listen to this. The source of the origin is minerals containing carbon content in high amounts and are found in the Earth's mantle. Carbon atoms bond under these extreme conditions. What carbon atoms do, when the pressure gets tough, they come together. When the pressure on you gets tough, surround yourself with people of like precious faith. In God, not the same faith that things are going to be doom and gloom. You don't want to do that. But you want to bond together and not try and face this thing on your own. Then there's the crystallization process, where all that bonding and it resisting all that pressure makes it tough. That it takes millions and billions of years for the carbon atom to bond to ultimately take the shape of diamond crystals. The slow cooking process and extreme conditions of high pressure are the factors responsible for giving birth to premium gem quality diamonds. The more the pressure, the more the heat, the better the product. Now you have to get the diamonds from 118 miles below the earth to the top. How do they get there? Diamonds get closer to the Earth's surface due to volcanic eruption activities. These eruptions are responsible for creating pipes named kimberlite and lamprolite. These pipes are like magma-filled channels that transport diamonds in an upward direction, preserving the structure of the stone. So violent episodes push them out. Violent episodes don't cause them to stop. They know their outcome is to be a diamond. So they deal with whatever they have to deal with because they know everything they're going through is only going to make them stronger, make them more valuable. Now, this is what I wrote this down verbatim, that I got it from the Holy Ghost. When the enemy turns up the pressure, our patient endurance, proven character, spiritual maturity, hope, and confidence assures increases. When that happens, you walk through the suffering, the distress, pressure, and trouble right into the middle of what God has promised. You walk right into the middle of what God has promised. If you're surrounding yourself with people who speak encouraging words to you, that you're not even thinking about the pressure. Speak encouraging words to yourself. We call them affirmations, but we need to take them more seriously. And when stuff happens, instead of blowing up at because something happened, let the affirmations that you've been speaking explode out of your mouth. No matter what happens. Because when you do that, that very thing that was sent to stop you will be your energy source to blow yourself out. The very thing that wants to stop you will propel you into a whole new realm if you don't quit. Now, I'm not going to stay in the presence of anyone and all they're spewing out of negative words. I'm not going to do it. I don't care who they are. Okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm not listening to it either. Oh, I don't mind talking to you, but if that's where you're going, I'm going somewhere else. I've had to check people affiliated with this church about some of the stuff they post on, were posting on Facebook. That you can't be who you are in this church and put stuff like that out there. That doesn't encourage anyone. That doesn't bring people together. And that's not who we are. We're a people in whom the love of God is evident. The word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. That's who we are. So speak encouraging words to yourself. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it will edify us, it will build us up. How many of you always know the exact words to pray? Right. So when something happens, we don't really know the source of the problem. We don't know. I was going through a medical issue. It took the doctors over 2 years to finally find out what was causing the problem. But they kept ruling out and ruling out and ruling out. And the good news, one of my doctors said, well, the good thing about it taking so long is that it wasn't well pronounced in your body. It means it hasn't really taken over. Because if it had, we'd be in a different position right now. It's the same way when you sit down and listen to discouraging words, your spiritual immunity system starts breaking down. It's not getting what it needs to continue, and it causes you to quit. So spend time praying in the Holy Ghost and get yourself built up. There's a set of scriptures. I handed them out once. I could get them for you again. They're called the I Am scriptures. They're 40 scriptures that talk about who you are in Christ. You really want to make a habit of saying them to yourself every day, speaking to your spirit, speaking to your heart, speaking to your understanding. This is who I am. So you'll have the right answer when the enemy comes. And oh, he's coming. So here's all of this stuff I said. Broken down into this little nugget right over here. Get yourself away from negative people. Replace them with people who are going to encourage you. I want to be in a place where the deer and the antelope play. And I said something while you were encouraging one another, you probably didn't hear it. But church should not be a place where seldom is heard a discouraging word. Church should be a place where never is heard a discouraging word. Everything that's said here should lift you up. Even if it steps on your toes. Because when you step on your toes, the first thing you do is jump up, try and get away from it. So even that'll lift you up. Unless you have feet like mine. You want to increase the water pressure to the point where it blows away itself. Just think of that. The circumstance comes to discourage, to berate, and meanwhile, it's just making you hulk up and bulk up to the point where the power in you expels it. Just expels it. I had a reputation. I was you were pretty good if I was up in your face. Because I'm just getting a little hot. But when you're starting to get, when it starts to get dangerous, I start backing away. And my voice changes. And my expression changes. So you need to stop because you're about to get hurt. So I would advise you, don't say anything else. Go. Or better still, I'll go. If you say another word, let it be a good one, because you might not be speaking again for a long time. And I would turn, and I would just walk away. When people want to discourage you, and they're saying things that are not edifying, you're entitled to your own opinion. I know who my father says I am. See, you wouldn't want to be you. And you walk away. Singing, I'm still standing, but by the grace of God,